Hey folks, this is Kevin. On this week's episode of Risk, you'll hear Talia Tabin.
I waddle downstairs in my towel, wet hair, and he shows me this bee on the front porch and he grabs my towel and locks the door and I'm naked outside on our front porch, and we lived on the bike boulevard so people were just bike riding by. That was a funny thing that he did.
That and more, but first, folks, there's someone in one of my online storytelling workshops who said to me that there's a story they'd like to share, but only if they could workshop it with Risk and then have an actor perform it so they could remain completely anonymous and no one would hear their actual voice. I thought it was an intriguing idea. So if you've got a story like that, pitch us at risk-show.com/submissions, and we might just tackle such an experiment with you.
We'll be right back.
Now here's the show. Folks, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison. This is Martin Denny behind me now, and we're calling this week's episode Should Have Seen It Coming, because psychics or mediums are in both stories today. In a little bit, we're going to hear from Talia Tabin, but before that, a story from Jonathan Bradley Welch, a longtime favorite of our fans in Los Angeles. He recorded this at a Los Angeles show in 2023. It is a story we call The One.
Okay, we're in the second half. This is Risk After Dark. I want to take you guys back to summer 2019. Do you remember 2019? I just remember the year 2019, people being like, fuck 2019, worst year ever. And we weren't correct about that. I had just gotten out of a long relationship, and my ex and I still lived together. Amicable, it's fine, it was good, but it was definitely like the gay men's version of lesbian bed death. It was like bear bed death. We were just like, let's live in separate rooms, it's fine. And then we were like, we're good friends, let's stay living together. And we did, but it meant that like any slutty behavior for me had to happen on vacation, because I couldn't necessarily like bring that into the home that we shared, you know? So it was very affair energy. I've worked it out in therapy. It's all okay. But that was the time when like I would take trips and like try to line up men during that time. And I would go back home to Massachusetts, where I'm from, and go down to, I think I heard like one tiny clap, like they, okay, wow. Cool. None of you've been. Fine. And I went to Provincetown. Has anybody been to Provincetown, Massachusetts? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. It's the gayest place on earth. I love it so much. Like, it is, Massachusetts is basically somebody flexing, and like Provincetown is right here at the end of that. It is the end of the world. And I went the summer of 2019, and I was in this room. I wasn't in the room the whole time. I just went like to a party in a room. And it was one of those moments where like everybody parted, and me and this beautiful man just like started walking towards each other. I gotta make sure I don't fall off the stage. Walking towards each other. And like everybody went away and I could just like heard like Spandau Ballet play, you know, it was like, I know this much is true. And we were making out. We just started making out with each other ferociously. And we were, and I was like, I'm Jonathan, by the way, like, nice to meet you. He was, and he looked like an 80s lead singer, like a little scruffy, like tan, great hair, like bold hair, and just like incredibly handsome. And we had this like weekend, like make out romance. And we would like stay up at night and talk to each other and just like stare in each other's eyes and talk about life and then make out some more and like feel each other up and then like get back on like talking to each other about whatever it was before. The most important thing about him, though, is that he was from where I'm from. He was from the North Shore of Massachusetts, and he had this like really warm North Shore mom energy. And you might think like, you might think that that's bad, right? But no, it's when you're in LA and you're trying to date men and like everybody's way too into anime and they don't know how to like dust. And it's like North Shore mom is like just the way to go. And nothing like that had ever happened to me before. Like we just, you know, we had this like electric, magnetic kind of connection. And I feel like I look like Cher's son in the movie Mask, you know, the one where she's, where he has like a really large head and has other problems, but the head's very large. And she's just like, if I started digging every time they told me he was going to die, I'd be halfway to China by now. Great movie. Nobody thought that was funny. Okay. But I definitely like am just the kind of person where I'm always very hard on myself and things like that don't happen to me. I don't just get like sprung into something with somebody where we just like are on top of each other and there's no one else around. And it was very special. And of course, I had to go back to my life in Los Angeles and we exchanged Instagrams and phone numbers. And then, you know, I just went back to life. I went back to living life. And then, of course, the world shut down. And we got shut into our homes for a year. And a lot of gay people, I think, experienced this during that time where we were isolated. So we had all these, like, virtual pandemic boyfriends. Like, these men we would talk to from our lives, like, in DMs or whatever. We would chat with them. We would exchange, you know, whatever. And it was like something that kept us going. I collected quite a few little boyfriends in my phone and talked to quite a few men. And one of them was North Shore Mom Boy. Like he was, that's the only name I can give him. Like I can't, I don't have the energy for a fake name. It's been a hard year. So one of them was North Shore Mom Boy. And he was just like, we would always chat with each other. And the talking kind of turned into more of like a, I think we'd be really good for each other. I think you and I would be good together. I really like wish I could see you. I wish that I could go out there right now. And he was like, I wish I could be there. And it was like this very reciprocal feeling that something could happen. And on Christmas Eve of 2020, I was sitting on my couch watching First Wives Club and drinking tequila and texting with him. And I was like, well, we know a vaccine's coming, right? We know that's coming down the line. I'm coming back home, going to visit my family. We're going on a date. And he was like, really? And I was like, that's how I interpreted him saying that. And I was like, yeah, yeah, we're going to do it. And we like set right then and there that we were going to do this. And we were going to see each other like in a matter of a few months. So all I had to do was just like wait a few months. And I knew that would be okay because I've dated around Boston and those men are disappointing. So I didn't feel like I had a lot of competition. I felt like it would be perfectly fine to wait. And it was. So it took about like 3-4 months before like we got vaccinated and I was able to go back for this date. In the meantime, I was gifted a session with a medium. And I don't know how you all feel about mediums. The dead silence in the room tells me probably not good. Like, we believe in science. I love that there are things that we can't explain that we don't know. I think there's a lot of beauty in that unknown. Plus, my family's all like dead. So it's like really nice to go talk to a medium every once in a while. And I had friends who were like, this one, she's the real deal. She is so good. And that's when it's like, okay, I'm listening. But also like, really, you know, people get really territorial about mediums. And they feel really like, oh yeah, she's really good. He's really good. You got to go see them. They have a gift. And so I was like, okay, sure. Like if anybody buys me something, I'll do it. So I did this session on Zoom, you know, where she can really feel my essence. And I sat in like my dark bedroom and like just prepared myself for this session with this medium from Long Island. It's not the Long Island medium, but it's a medium from Long Island. She looked just like my friend Leah Doobie, but with like conditioned by Clairol, dark black hair. Like she did that herself, like black parted in the middle. And she was like, oh, hello. And I'm like, oh, hi. Nice to see you. I was like a floating disembodied head in a dark room. And she's like, okay, let's get into it. And I was like, let's. I'm very excited for this next 45 minutes. So she starts going into things and she gets my dad like right away. She's like, I get him. Oh, he's like, he's got olive skin and wavy hair. And he is like, he's debonair. Oh, my God. He is flirting with me. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense because my mom hated my dad. And if they're together in the afterlife, he's flirting with someone in another realm. Like, he's got to get out of there. So I'm like, okay, yeah. And she's just giving me all these details. Like, he was in the Air Force. He was a builder and an architect. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Oh, my God. She's getting it. She's getting it. This woman is amazing. And she's like, you have a relationship with a blonde woman that's changing. And I'm like, yes, Liz Cheney. It's changing. I feel different about her. Like, you're right. And then she's just going through things. I'm like, yeah, you are nailing it. And then she's like, do you have a man in your life? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't, but there is a man that I like have been talking to. And she's like, okay, when you met him, and it was like an explosion. And you were like, what the hell was that? And I was like, yes, that's what I said. I said, what the hell was that? Because I like made out with him, right, like the room parted, and we were just like, you know, like, I know this much is true. And it was just like this moment, you know? And she's like, yeah, yeah. And he's so kind. He's so kind. And you're not used to that. You men are not kind to you. And I was like, thank you. And I realized this was therapy as well. She's like, you're not used to it. He is very kind. She's like, do you like wine? I'm like, no. And she's like, but do you like wineries? I'm like, yes, I do. I love a winery. I love the establishment, but I don't like the output. And she's like, I see the two of you at a winery. And listen, I don't tell people this. I don't usually say it. But I'm going to say it. He's the one. He's the one for you. This is it. And I'm like, but he lives across the country. She's like, you'll move. You'll move for love. And I'm like, I'm going to give up everything in my life. Yeah, for love. You'll do it. And you're going to do it in the next year. And I was like, okay. All right. I was like, okay, I'm armed with this knowledge that this is the man for me. So I am ready for this date. Okay. I fly across the country. I make sure that my haircut is perfect. I make sure that I have the right outfit. I make sure that everything is good. We meet up at a restaurant in my hometown. We have this perfect back and forth of banter, conversation, like flirting, having a great time with each other. Perfect date, no notes. We end the date, we make out by the water in my hometown. Again, very Hallmark movie, but not as aggressively straight and Christian. And it was so perfect. And we like finished the evening and he's like, I need to see you again. And I was like, yeah, yeah, we need to see each other again. And I got in the car and I drove back to my hotel and I was like, oh my God, it's all happening the way that the medium said. Like, she told me that within a year, I'm moving back home. This is absolutely it. This is fantastic. And I was like, and he wants to see me again. We're going to see each other again. This might be the thing. I had this trip back home, so I had friends and family to see, but I was like, I'll make time and we'll see each other. And as the trip just kind of went on, we didn't get to see each other. And I was just like, okay. So I texted him back because we'd been texting each other. And I was like, you know, you seem very busy. And he's like, I am. I'm just so busy. I want to see you again. When are you coming back? And I was like, well, I'm coming back in 6 weeks. I have like a family thing here and I have to come back. He's like, great. Then we'll see each other then. So I was like, okay. Like, it would have been nice to make it a little bit longer of a commitment while I'm out here with him. Make it a little bit more firmer, you know, and see him a second time. But fine. So I come back in 6 weeks and we had texted each other like intermittently. And then I was like, well, I'm coming soon. And I didn't hear anything back. And then I was like, okay. So I come to Massachusetts and I have my trip with my family and I am flying back and I get a text from him and he's like, oh, I'm really so sorry. I've been so busy and I wanted to see you. How was it? And I was like, oh, how was it? I'm like, it was fine, but like, it's very disappointing that, you know, we couldn't do this. And I was kind of down the whole time. And he's like, well, I should have been there for you. And I'm like, yeah, what is this? What is going on? Should have been there for me. It just kind of petered out and I didn't see him again. And I was just so like, huh, I don't understand what that was. I don't understand like why this medium said that we were going to be together and then we weren't together. And then I was like, oh yeah, because she's a medium. And they're like kind of not like correct a lot, you know? You know, as much as mediums kind of can replace therapists, it's therapy where we actually like do the work. And then through therapy, I realized that I was looking for a man in the darkest time any of us have ever lived through, I assume, but collectively, like a very dark, hard time. I was looking for a man who would bring me home. Like nothing would make me feel more comfort than somebody from where I'm from who has that mom-like energy, who can bring me like back home and make me feel safe. And that's way too big a task for any man to do, for anybody. That all comes from me. And so I realized, like, I don't need that. Everything that I need is actually right here in this city of angels here where life is actually, like, pretty damn good. And I don't need to go chasing a man. And I'm actually, like, way too slutty to be in a monogamous relationship. So, like, that's not going to work out anyway. And I like that freedom and I like being free and it all feels really good. But, you know, I still remain very hopeful about love, that it could happen at some point. And I know that when it does, I'm not going to need a medium to tell me that that's what it is. But if anybody wants to gift me a session with one, I'll definitely take it. Thank you so much.
Troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9.
This is Risk. This is the Clovers behind me now. And we just heard from Jonathan Bradley Welch, who you can find at Jonathan B. Welch on Instagram. Folks, there's still time to sign up for my last two online storytelling workshops before I move to Thailand. It's even okay if you jump in a week or two late. People are raving about the first ones I taught this summer. Maureen said, I loved that our stories could be about life-changing incidents, or just light and funny stories, or even just brief snapshots of little things that happened that week. Jill said, the workshop was a great combination of storytelling and support. It was a safe place to take risks and learn to be vulnerable in my storytelling. So, if you want to jump on in, email me for more information at kevin@risk-show.com. And if you become a member of ours at patreon.com/risk, you will get over 250 bonus stories, 90 check-ins, access to our Storytelling for Business video course, access to tons of videos of our live shows, an ad-free feed of the podcast, and more. That is at patreon.com/risk. Next up, we're going to hear from Talia Tabin with a story she shared at the Risk Live Show in Los Angeles in 2023. It's a story we call What Older Brothers Do.
Love potion number nine. Love potion number nine.
My brother, Jacob, he died when he was 20 years old and I was 18 years old. And that obviously is the kind of thing that can really tear a family apart. But it didn't tear us apart. It actually really brought us together. My family ended up grieving together and mourning together and celebrating his birthday every year and doing special things on the anniversary of his death. We just carried his memory on through our lives. And my sister went so far as to name her son Jacob after him, and not his first name, his middle name, but it still counts. And he's a big part of our lives still. And a year ago, my friend called me and told me that she was having a session with a medium and that my brother Jacob came through, which is so bizarre to get that call. And it kind of spun me out a little bit. I have a little sister too, and I told my parents and my sister Rachel, we didn't grow up spiritual or hippy-dippy or anything. I mean, we were like Reformed Jews, but we didn't have like medium talks and ghosts and the afterlife talks. But when I told all of them this, they were all pretty on board with it. We all were. We were all just like, oh, okay, I'm here for this. I believe this already, initially. And she had actually recorded it. So we heard the medium talking about what she was channeling through my brother. And my mom was immediately like, I want to do this. And we had planned a trip for this year in July to go for the 20th anniversary of his death to Hawaii, all of us together, my sister's family, my family, and my parents, to all be together for his 20th anniversary. And my mom said, I want to talk to this medium on the 20th anniversary. So my sister made the appointment and we were all going to be in Hawaii together. And she got that for the second day that we were there, 8 a.m., bright and early. We were going to do it. And I didn't know how I felt. I'm definitely the most hippy-dippy out of all my family. I live in LA and I've been to every healer and witch doctor that you can go to. And I'm open to it, but I've never had a session with a medium to speak to my dead brother. So as I'm trying to like figure out how I feel about all of this, I'm trying to get on board. Just to give you a little bit about my brother, he was a very fun, charismatic, happy guy. Everybody loved him and he loved to have fun and he loved pranks. And that takes me to my next point, which is my brother was a huge jerk to me because I was the butt of all his jokes and pranks. So just to give you a little example, my brother one time locked me in a room with his depressed, angry iguana that like scratched up my legs. And another time I was about 7 years old and I had just gotten out of the shower and he comes to me and he's like, Talia, you got to see this bee outside on the front porch. And I was like, what? I don't what? And he's like, you got to see this bee on the front porch, this dead bee. So I waddle downstairs in my towel, wet hair, and he shows me this bee on the front porch and he grabs my towel and locks the door and I make it outside on our front porch. And we lived on the bike boulevard, so people were just bike riding by. That was a funny thing that he did. And, you know, just simple things like that. So I think that I have a real, you know, love-hate relationship with my brother, where when he was alive, I kind of hated him. When he died, I really loved him, right? It was a huge part of my identity for the last 20 years of like the girl whose brother died and mourning him and thinking about him. So I think I secretly really wanted to connect with my brother in this session. I was like, okay, maybe I need this more than I've ever needed anything else. We're in Hawaii and we get a call right as we get off the plane from the medium's assistant who says, all four of you cannot be in the session. That is too much energy for the medium and other spirits might come through. Only one of you can go on this Zoom to only one of you can be present on the Zoom with this medium. So we make the hard decision. It is going to be my mom. And we get her set up in the Hawaiian hotel room with the big turtle picture behind her. And we like make this makeshift office. I have an iPad resting on a pillow and she's just laying there on the bed. And we sign her onto the Zoom. And I put my cell phone and I record it. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but I'm a rebel. And I did it. We didn't tell her. And we sign her on. And all of a sudden, this woman pops up, this beautiful middle-aged woman with long hair. Whatever you're picturing is correct. She looked exactly like that. And we just felt like this was going to be good. And my sister and I were like, this is my mom. And okay, we're going to let you be. And we run into the other room and we're just waiting for her. It's about a 20-minute session. And finally, my mom comes out and she has like happy tears in her eyes. And she's like, we got to listen to this. So we all four sit around. The husbands like take the babies away. And my sister and my dad and my mom and I sit around this coffee table and we listen back to this session. And the first thing that this medium says to my mom is, I don't know, I'm getting Neapolitan. The word Neapolitan is coming to me. Does that mean anything to you? And my mom was just like, oh my God. Because my brother was born with red hair. I was born with brown hair and my sister was born with blonde hair. And they used to call us chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, which are the flavors of Neapolitan ice cream. And I'm telling you, we Googled, we checked this. There was no way to know this on the internet. And so we were sold. It was just like, yes, ma'am. This woman is correct. She is channeling my brother. And we listened to this beautiful session between my mom and this woman and my brother, my dead brother, and gave her a lot of closure and a lot of peace. And it was so beautiful. And we all wept. It was really special and amazing. I think a piece of me and my sister and my dad were a little jealous that my mom got to have this experience. My sister actually left the room. And then a minute later, she comes back and she goes, okay, I made another appointment. I told them all four of us are going to be on this call. She made it for 40 minutes instead of 20 minutes. And we're all going to do it the day before we leave Hawaii. So we got another Zoom happening. And now I'm a little nervous because maybe part of me was jealous, but actually maybe I don't want to know. You know, maybe we already just had this beautiful moment and I don't want to mess that up by having another experience. Or maybe this is finally it for me. Like now I'm going to have my time with my brother. So the last day of our trip rolls around 8 a.m. Now it's all four of us laying down on this bed together with that iPad, which I'm not sure if you guys know have the new iPad, but it focuses on its own. So it kind of like zooms in and zooms out without your control. And four people in a bed is too much for this iPad. And it was a disaster, but we sign on and this beautiful medium is there again. And she kind of takes us through what she's doing. And she starts saying things and asking us if we respond to any of it. And all of a sudden she, you know, looks at my dad and says, is there anything special to you that happens in the month of November? My dad's like, that is my birthday month. And she says, Jacob has been with you every November. And it really moves him. And then she goes on and says, you know, what about the month of July? Does the month of July mean anything? My mom says, that's my birthday month. And then she says, what about December? And my sister says, that's my birthday month. And the medium explains that Jacob has been there every year with all of you on your birthday. And then she starts saying how my brother Jacob helped shepherd my sister's son from the heavens, like down into my sister's stomach, I guess. And he made sure to protect it and made it safe. And he, how much it meant to my brother that my sister had named her son after him. And how beautiful that moment was. And I was like, well, I have a kid. And I also have a birthday. And I haven't heard any mention of this. And now we are getting to the end of that 40 minutes. It is rapidly approaching. And all of a sudden, I am just starting to internally rage. Like, what the fuck is going on? Where is my moment? What is happening here? And because my family is so close and we are all so connected, my sister can feel this. So my sister goes out on a limb, which we Googled what to do when you talk to a medium, and you're not supposed to ask questions because that can like give them things to elaborate on that maybe if you didn't believe in mediums, they could like, you know, bullshit you through. But we do believe in mediums. So my sister was just like, why was Jacob so awful to Talia? I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe she's asking this. And as a true middle child, I was like, no, I don't care. We don't need to know. We don't need to. I don't care. I don't care. When all I wanted to know was the answer to this question. And the medium takes a second and she says, oh, okay. Wow. I'm getting kind of a bland answer back from him. He's saying, because that's what older brothers do. And we all looked at each other like, no, that doesn't sound like Jake. No, he has too much to say. He has too many opinions. It can't just be because that's what older brothers do. And she's like, okay, let me see. And she's like, no, he's saying, you know, that's what older brothers do. And I'm kind of just like internally shaking a little bit. And I'm like trying to process what's going on. I was like, that's what I get out of this. And then she stops. And she looks at me, the iPad is trying to zoom to get my face because I'm leaning forward a little bit. And she says, wait, he's saying it's because I loved you the most. Aww. And I was like, oh my God, dreams do come true. And my brother is telling me that he loved me the most. And my whole body just like melts. And I'm having the experience that you hope to have when you pay a medium, you know? And I kind of can't believe it. And then she goes, wait, he's winking at your sister. Oh, I see. He's making a joke. And I was like, what? She said, oh, he's saying he loves you the most, but he's winking at Rachel. Oh, he's being sarcastic. And I was saying, I think I just blacked out. I know we made it to the end of the session. I know that my parents felt a lot of closure and were very happy. I know that my sister felt very touched that he shepherded her child into the world. But I was raging. I was like blackout rage. I couldn't believe what had happened. I didn't know how to process this because I do believe in the afterlife. I do believe in all of that. But so if that's true, my brother's soul like came through vortexes and dimensions to talk to my family. And this is like what he's gonna do as a fucking ghost? He's gonna like... He's gonna nag me from the beyond. So I felt so much anger and so much sadness, and I just walked around all day just being like, well, I guess he just nags me now from the beyond too. And yeah, I mean, this is actually a very recent story. This happened pretty recently. And so I really am still trying to like put together the pieces of what this all means for me. When I think about it, I sometimes feel very hurt. I still feel a little angry. I am a little overwhelmed by the fact that we even did this at his 20th anniversary of his death. But this is a complicated and layered experience, and you can't really just call up your friend and be like, okay, Beth, tell me, like, what happened when this happened to you? Like, how did you get through this particular experience? You know, it's too specific. So I just did what any normal person would do. I agreed to tell it in a storytelling show so I could really work through those feelings. But when I think about it, I'm starting to see something a little beautiful in it too, because it's been 20 years since my brother died, and yet he's still having fun. There's something to that. Yes, it is all at my expense, but I guess that's just what older brothers do. So thank you.
Older than I, he was my brother, 23 years old, the day he died.
This is Risk. This is Simon and Garfunkel from their debut album and their most pure folky album in 1964. Behind me now, it's called Wednesday Morning 3 a.m., I believe. And we just heard from the actress and producer Talia Tabin, who you can find on Instagram at Talia Tabin. Folks, I might be selling a lot of furniture and mementos and kink gear and appliances and so forth right before my move, so stay tuned. Maybe you could end up with a Kevin Allison couch or a Kevin Allison blender or a Kevin Allison electro sex toy kit. And if you don't know, on all the socials, I'm at the Kevin Allison. Now, on Thursday, we have the best of adventure stories, number 2, because these days, we could all use a good escape. Meanwhile, folks, today's the day. Take a risk.
He was my brother. Can't bring him back to me. He was my brother, and he died so his brothers could be free. He died so his brothers could be free.
Don't wait in line for years to contact a highly regarded professional psychic or medium. You'll be surprised by the chilling accuracy. They're as gifted as the uber-famous mediums you'll see, wait for it, on TV.
Oh, ouch. That's really nice, and I should have seen that coming.
Don't go, you hear me?
Hmm.
And you know what? You're not listening to me because I see you going. I see you going. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to help you to avoid the heartache.
Don't go blindly through life. Let me use the power of the tarot to show you the way. Call me now for your free reading.
Call 1-800-555-5333-3335.